from Paul's letter to the Ephesians. I pray that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant that you may be strengthened in your inner being with power through his Spirit, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith as you are being rooted and grounded in love. In the name of the one true God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. This is congregation participation morning. So I ask you to bear with me, and I ask you now to close your eyes for a moment. And while you have your eyes closed, I ask you to visualize in your mind's eye someone that you know cares very much about you, who loves you. Picture them in your mind's eye. Hold them there. Now open your eyes. Can you tell me in one word what makes that person special? Why you see them the way that you do? What's a characteristic about them? Anybody?
Loving.
Loving. I can't hear.
Loving.
Loving.
Faithful.
Nurturing.
Kind.
Kind.
Always there.
Compassionate.
Strong.
Anything from the peanut gallery?
Empathy.
Now, none of you said 5'2", eyes of blue, auburn hair, you know, size 6 feet, the I wish, you know. Yeah. None of you said that. All the characteristics that you talked about or came to mind when you pictured the person who was there for you, that you knew cared for you and loved you, were all things that come from inside, that come from inside the heart. The word heart is mentioned in the Old Testament almost 400 times. In the New Testament, over 150 times. And sometimes it's translated not just as heart, but as mind as well. And you can understand that. The heart is the place that rules the mind. Where your heart is, your mind goes. Where your actions go. During Lent, we read from Ezekiel, the prophet Ezekiel, where the prophet says a word from the Lord saying, I will turn their hearts of stone into hearts of flesh. Hearts of flesh. I will soften them. Thus says the Lord, I will soften them. Hearts of stone are all around us. You may know somebody who had a heart of stone and now has a heart of flesh. I remember back a number of decades ago saying to my mother, my dad was a military officer, infantry his whole life, strong man, would come home, everything was ship-shaped, had to be done a certain way. But I noticed after he retired over the decades how he became different. And I remember saying to my mother, Dad is so much different now than he was before. And she looked at me and she said, she being the recipient of his loving every day, said, you notice it too? You notice it too? Turn to hearts of flesh. There was an artist back in the 1800s. His name was William Hunt. You've probably seen the picture that I'm about to describe to you. It's called The Light of the World. And it's a picture of Christ in his kingly robes. It's a rather darkish background, but Christ in his kingly robes standing like on a front porch, and there's a door, a solid door in front of him. And he has a hand raised like he's going to knock on the door. Well, when this painting was first put on display in the mid-1850s, one of the critics looked at it and said, Mr. Hunt, the picture's not finished. And he said to him, what do you mean? He said, there's no doorknob. And he said, oh no, that is a correct representation Christ is knocking, but that door can only be opened from the inside. Mr. Hunt had painted that picture from his own conversion experience, his own understanding. So it was filled with incredible spiritual symbolism, and it's been that way ever since. I mean, you look at it and you understand where that's coming from. So now you're probably wondering, where is all of this leading me, and what does that have to do with today's gospel? Well, let me preface all of this by saying 100% that I believe in miracles. I do. I've seen them. I've experienced them. I'm talking about the kind of miracles that occur out of nothing. The only thing it could be attributed to is divine intervention. There is no way in you know where that it could have been materializing from human effort at all. And oftentimes, the story that we have today in the gospel about the feeding of the 5,000 is seen as one of those stories where Jesus just snapped his fingers and enough food appeared for 5,000 people right in front of them, baskets and all, just right there. But I think it behooves us to look at this story in a different way. From the place where Paul speaks about may your inner being with may you be strengthened with your inner being with power through his spirit that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith as you are being rooted and grounded in love. Our hearts are softened through the teachings of Christ, from listening to his teachings, from following him, from practicing what he has told us, making it part of our own being. And when you think about these crowds that came and followed him, they were seeing these miracles happening, these healings, and they were listening to his teachings as well. And these people were hungry. None of them said they were hungry, but they were hungry, probably for something even more. They were hungry for hope, and they were hungry for strength because they were oppressed people. They were people who had nothing. And so they were following him wherever it was that he went. And I think, being our Lord, that he understood what it was that they needed. And what they needed right then probably wasn't him going, poof, you know, baskets of fish, baskets of bread. But what they needed was more of an inner transformation to take place. He asked Philip, you know, where are we going to get something for these people to eat? And he asked Philip because Philip was from that area, and he would have known where there was the closest Quickie Mart or whatever. So, I mean, it's all planning on Jesus' part. And then you have the offering of this child's bag lunch. This incredibly small offering that opened up, and believe me, all the eyes were on the teacher. No matter how far back you were sitting, they were all watching to see what he would do. The offering of this little lunch where you open up this bag and you take out these little tiny fish and you start passing them around. If you are going to imitate the leader that you were following, you stop and you pause and you think, well, really? What have I got? What do I have? Oh, here, Frank. And their hearts were opened. And these are the kind of miracles that take place each and every day out there in the wider world, where people's hearts have gone from stone to flesh. Probably the greatest miracle of all, because when that happens, we no longer are inward focused at us. We see that we are us. We are the bigger us. They are us. And that's an incredible transformation. You see it in this world today of all the hoarding and hanging on to riches and everything. People just wanting and wanting and wanting, and it's all about self. It's all about self. And that's not what Jesus calls us to. It's about sharing, and it's about understanding that you are my sister, and you are my brother, and you are my brother, and you are my sister, and you are my brother. We are all in this together. And when you understand that, there's this transformation that takes place in your heart that's miraculous. Absolutely miraculous. The transformed heart. The transformed heart is the way in which the Word of God gets out into the world. Because if that heart is transformed and malleable and lives by the precepts, the teachings of Jesus, and follows Jesus, then the mind will follow. The mind will follow. Now, you've often heard the story, I'm sure, and I know that I've used it before, but I need to remind you once again that that miracle took place here at St. John's a number of years back. And if you've heard me already, you can stick your fingers in your ears, but I hope you hear me with your heart, not just your ears. You know that Father Mark and I are friends. A number of years ago, we were sitting eating lunch, and he was telling me about Mission Possible and how it all came about. And he said to me, Val, it was the most incredible thing, the most unbelievable thing. He said, but at the time, St. John's was in the red. St. John's was in the red. And he couldn't figure out how in the world to communicate to people here at St. John's. He couldn't think of a way out of this because people were giving. People were giving. And he prayed and he prayed really fervently. And he said what he heard absolutely surprised him and amazed him. He couldn't believe it. And because it was so unbelievable, he knew it was from God. And he said, so I went back to the vestry and I said to them, we're in the red. He said, so this is what we're going to do. During Lent, we're going to raise $10,000, not to pay our bills, but to give away. Think about that. Think about that. We are going to raise $10,000. We're going to put it out there, not to pay our bills because we're in the red, but to give it away. St. John's has been in the black ever since. You talk about the transformation of hearts that rule the mind, and that is one of the most powerful things that we have ever seen within this faith community. And when I share that with other clergy, they are absolutely blown away. And for Mark at the time, it seemed so preposterous that it had to come from God. Because God was saying, don't talk to these people's checkbooks, talk to these people's hearts. Open them up for them to see that they are not just people taking up space here on a Sunday, but they are a community of faith who is called to do the work of God out there in the world. We are not just us. We are us. We are part of everybody. We just happen to be here at St. John's called to do this work as this faith community. And you'll probably hear the story again next Lent. But I think it's an amazing story. It's an amazing story about a miracle happening here. Not a poof, there are baskets of fish and bread, but a softening of hearts and the following of the minds into the ministry that Jesus has called us to be his hands and his feet for those who are hurting and need healing. So, the way that hearts of stone get turned into this, you need to dwell in God's Word. You need to follow His teachings. You need to practice it every single day. It's not something that you get once. If you don't feed your heart and your soul, your mind isn't going to follow in the right direction. And so, yes, it was miraculous. I don't know, I wasn't there. Maybe it was poof, five baskets overflowing with more and more fish and bread. But I think perhaps the greatest, the way I can interpret it as the priest, the greatest miracle was the softening of those 5,000 hearts. To be able to share with each other and imagine the glee Imagine the glee. Have you ever been really ticked off about something and then all of a sudden you see the almost absurdity in what's going on and then you have to laugh at yourself? Can you imagine these people seeing the absurdity and they're hoarding their little bag lunch when there are other people all around them and then starting to laugh and realize, wow, that was a pretty cool lesson he taught us, isn't it? This is really fun. And to turn that into almost like a festival of all these people who came in feeling alone and oppressed and weak and weary and whatever, feeling like they were joined by people who loved them and cared about them and formed a community. None of them isolated anymore. All of them together in this. That, my friends, is a miracle. Now to him who by the power at work within us is able to accomplish abundantly far more than all we can ask or imagine, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Amen.